I'm with Rob Weber. He's a local VP of the... Which branch are you with?
Canadian Media Guild, Vancouver location.
And that's part of the CBC. What exactly does your group do in the CBC?
Well, Canadian Media Guild now represents every unionized employee in the building. The only people we don't represent are managers and there's some cleaning staff and they contract out the building maintenance. They've done that a number of years ago. So there's building maintenance people who are work for a separate company that's contracted out by CBC.
So what employees do you represent here?
Well, start at from executive producers, producers of shows, radio, television, reporters, announcers, all technical functions, schedulers, any clerks, accounting people, sales people, radio on air personalities. It's a huge anything that's going on in the building has to do with broadcasting or support of broadcasting we represent.
So you're like Radio 1, the French channel, Channel 7, and you're also the CBC Channel 3 with the news and all that?
Yes, yeah, all those, yeah, everything.
So do you also have members here that do the hockey broadcasts as well as those things?
Yes, yeah, yeah. A lot of them, a number of us actually are scheduled to go to Torino to do host broadcaster for Olympic hockey. And that number of people from Vancouver. I should mention, in terms of the coverage, is that it doesn't cover CBC in Quebec or Moncton. There are other unions. There's a different union set up in Quebec and Moncton. Though we do represent people working for the French network outside of Moncton and Quebec, even though they are working to Montreal as the main place. They were still represented by CMG because they're working outside Quebec or Moncton.
So is then Montreal then broadcasting all the shows for Channel 7?
Yes.
And how do you feel about that? Is that like kind of like scab labor to you?
I don't think so. I mean, it's a little bit, broadcasting's kind of a funny business when you're talking about labor, because it's not like you have objects that are, it's all kind of out in the airwaves. So it's very difficult to control, it's difficult to police, anything like that. Channel 7 in Montreal, they're not in any kind of a labor situation, so it's kind of separate. Channel 7 here, it's their own thing. There's nobody, they're not getting some national shows that come out of Vancouver. They're not getting contributions from Vancouver, so they have to, that whole rest of the country for Francophones is not represented on Channel 7 now.
How are your members reacting here to the public? Is the public reacting well to you?
Yeah, it seems to be. We've had people are coming up and asking, what they can do, and that they support us, and people coming by and go, what the hell's happened to CBC Radio? This is, what's going on? This is terrible, and we've had a lot of support.
So management's taken over broadcasting the radio. Have you listened to it at all?
Yeah, I listened to a little bit this morning, and they had some. I guess their management people, some of them may have had experience previously, and they were working as announcers or something before, and playing music, reading the sports, like listing off the sports. What happened in sports, and listing off the news. It's pretty bare bones.
For the general public, what do you suggest? Do you suggest they continue listening or find another media source?
Well, I don't know. I can't advise them to keep listening, because I think they're not going to get anything from it. You listen to radio for entertainment and some information, and you're not going to be getting that from CBC. All I can ask is, go elsewhere, please, this will be over someday. And all the people who normally do those shows will be back, and they'll be doing the same great job they always did. And hopefully people will come back and listen to them. That's what we're afraid of, that we're going to lose through this ridiculous lockout, that they're going to be losing those listeners. But we hope that they will come back when it's over.
And you're getting support from other local media, the independent non-profit radio stations. How does that make you feel?
Oh, I think it's terrific. We've been getting, this kind of thing. It's a battle of hearts and minds, trying to get public on your side. It's a big propaganda battle. CBC's got a lot of resources. They have no trouble in pumping money into full page ads in the Globe and Mail. You know, we can't do that. We have to get our support from wherever we can and wherever we can, and anyone who helps us is very much appreciated.
Yeah, we're going to be rebroadcasting this program probably across Canada. Maybe other radio stations will pick this up. I'm hoping that that your strike won't be a long one. How long do you think it will be lasting?
Well, I can't really say. The first I have to say is that it's a lockout, not a strike. And that's very important because of the way it happened. The CBC just they pushed us out. They put up a wall in terms of what their position was, and left us with no alternative. You either capitulate, which is what it amounts to, total capitulation, or you end up in a situation like this. And the corporation just said, okay, lock the doors, everybody out.
I was looking at their website today, and they said, oh, that they're willing to bargain, and they want you to come back to the table. Is that really the case?
It's the big lie, you know. It's what you hear from all these companies. It seems like if you take the reverse of what they say, you're probably going to be right on the money for what the truth actually is. They are not bargaining. They have not been bargaining. They are presenting a position, and then sticking with that position. There's no negotiation involved. Our negotiators have done everything that they could to get a deal, to find out what the CBC wants. What do they need? What do they need for temporary and contract workers? CBC won't tell them. CBC won't say, well, we just need to. It's like a child. A child says, oh, I want to. I just want to. Well, did you just let them do that? We can't allow them to destroy the workforce of public broadcasting for no reason that they can give us.
So do you think all your members are behind the union in their position to not go back and bargain at this time?
Well, it isn't the union position not to go back at this time. Right now they're taking a break, and if there is something happens, if there is a reason to go back, we have two local, our staff representative and our local president who's on the negotiating committee. They'll be on a plane tomorrow. But there's no point in sitting around in hotel rooms in Toronto waiting for them. Waiting for what? Waiting for them to say we're not changing from our position. There are negotiators in Toronto. There are people standing by. They can be meeting in an hour. All they have to do is make a call and say there's something here to discuss. But to say this is our position, that's not a negotiation. There seems to be this pretense in labor, in management side of negotiations now, is that presenting a position and saying, well, that's it, is somehow negotiating. Well, that's not negotiating. Negotiating is a back and forth, a give and take, not saying this is our bottom line, take it or leave it.
Has there been any talk of a mediator or an arbitrator?
There were mediators there. There were mediators at the table up until the lockout. They were not able to get anywhere. Our president Pierre Claveau had mentioned that they have asked for a special mediator, which is maybe a next step up in the whole process. These mediators will be sending report to the Deputy Minister of Labor. All we can hope for is that someone outside takes a look at this and says, you know, hey, let's get this happening, because unless that happens, it's really hard to see any movement.
You see the federal government stepping in and out at any point?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, unfortunately for me, I'm thinking I'm out here on the street. They may step in, but how long is it going to take? And by stepping in, all it can take is an official somewhere in the Department of Labor or Deputy Minister of Labor to just bring the parties together and look at the situation. because we feel that we have a very arguable case, and that any third party is going to look at this and going to understand that we are not being unreasonable here. We have to get that third party in there, and it has to be a third party with some kind of pull. It has to be someone up there. Political pressure can have a big impact, and that would be great if there was some of that. Unfortunately, Parliament's not in session till the end of September. But anything like that would be very welcome, because as I said, we feel we have a very strong case.
So if members of your local executive or local members met with members of Parliament to discuss that issue?
Libby Davies came down here, visited the picket line, and said, that she was supported us, and I'm sure there's other political members of Parliament who would support us. We just have to, see if the public puts some pressure on. That's where it really counts, is if there's any kind of pressure from the listening public saying, what's going on? You know, I don't like this going on. You know, MPs have to take that into consideration.
So there's a website, organization called LaborStart.org. They do a lot of email campaigns. Mm-hmm. Would you be looking into that sort of thing in the future?
Well, that sounds like an interesting thing. If we have that and know about it, sure, we'll look into it.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank you for taking your time with me, as Ms. Rob Weber, and I appreciate the time that you've spent with me. And I hope you the best of luck in the next few days and weeks.
Thanks very much.